Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, July 26, 2017. I am Andrea Daniel, and today my guest is author Fiat Hollins, whose new book is Three Ways to Cut Soul Ties and Make Peace, a Digging in the Bag series, Book One. Fiat Hollins is an author, script writer, and human vault who inspires others through her life's main mission to stay true to herself. Through her contemporary fiction that often features women and relationships as they relate to sexuality and sensuality, her testimonies of how she stopped living a lie and found her truth, and her YouTube channel series, Address Not Suppress, Fiat shares her journey to healing with the hope of not only healing herself, but also bringing others awareness also. The fact that people she knows and don't know bear their souls to her is a testament to her ability to reveal her authentic self and to encourage others to do the same. Fiat is the author of the short story collection It Can Happen to You, the novel Innocence, Georgia, and the co-writer of the blog soap opera Anderson Place. In 2014, Fiat created the healing series Address Not Suppress, started the hashtag Get Naked movement in 2015, released her first short film, Daddy's Girl, and five PSAs. Fiat also wrote a stage play and started Holly Short Films. Fiat lives in Wayne, Michigan with her two daughters and enjoys watching her favorite TV dramedies and imagining being one of the writers. She also loves dancing and often fantasizes about what life would be like if she were a B-girl. Fiat Hollins wasn't able to be with us live today, so I interviewed her a couple of days ago, and I have that pre-recorded interview for you now, so let's take a listen. Welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio, Fiat Hollins. So we've got a lot to unpack here from your book, Three Ways to Cut Soul Ties and Make Peace. And I'd like to start with you reading a short excerpt from the book, if you can do that.
Absolutely. Okay, so like you said, the book is called Three Ways to Cut Soul Ties and Make Peace. And this is the introduction. The image on the cover is a picture I took of the bag that houses numerous pictures I've accumulated from back in the day. Back when Polaroids were popping and 35 millimeter cameras were taken to drugstores for the pictures to be developed. I go through them periodically to reminisce. But in late 2016, as I looked at the pictures of some of my exes, I felt sad. And so since writing is cathartic for me, I decided to explore why it was that I felt this way. And I wrote a few blog posts on my website as a means to release whatever feelings I had harboring for upteen years. And as I began thinking about what the people in the pictures meant to me, the pen wrote rapidly in my notebook. The words flowed freely. I soon realized I was purging, cleansing. And because I was literally digging in a bag to fetch these photos, digging in the bag as the title came naturally to me. I mean, in essence, metaphorically, I'm reaching into my soul and pulling out the hurt, pain, shame, guilt, abuse, and neglect. Everything that I've been carrying all of my life, and I'm dumping it all on the table. The book, because healing is freedom. And as I dug into my soul, I discovered that I was hurting. Well, let me rephrase that. I knew that I was hurting, but I had been on this healing and authenticity journey then for about 2 years. However, I wasn't aware of the extent of my pain, nor I had not gotten to the root of it all. That in and of itself was enough to make my knees buckle. Pain kept showing up in patterns. That's when I knew I was stuck and needed to make a change, and quick. I was repeating the same unhealthy patterns. It was the same routine, just with another face. I was hopping in and out of relationships like a jump rope, never allowing myself enough time to get over the last one. But why? I will touch on that when I get into soul ties.
I love that intro because it gets into and talks so clearly about what your book is about, really, and because this is what actually happened to you. And so you talk about healing is freedom, which I love, and you were on a journey of healing and authenticity for 2 years. So it sounds like this particular moment, when you're digging through that bag of pictures, it was this particular moment that was a turn for you in that journey of healing and authenticity. Can we say that?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so explain what soul ties are so people can have a basic understanding of what you're talking about when you say cutting soul ties.
Well, the generic version mm-hmm. is mainly a connection between two people, a spiritual connection between two people.
Mm-hmm.
Either it could be between close friends or it can be by sexual intercourse. So, of course, I was touching on the sexual intercourse part. So it can be a negative or positive. Positive is when you have this, when you get married and you have this soul tie to your mate and you become one. And negative is when you're out here just having sexual encounters with folks who aren't, who you're not married to, and you have multiple, mm-hmm. have sex with multiple people in the absence of marriage. So I'm mainly talking about that, having it's a connection with someone that you've had intercourse with.
Okay. So you're mainly talking about sexual partners. And that's
sexual
a good
partners.
that's a good place to go from because, that aspect can be really deep in someone's life or it can be just casual all the time,
Right,
but,
right.
But what you're talking about are the soul ties. It's something that we hear about sometimes, but we don't really internalize it and take it in. Or some of us, might not even know that soul ties are being created in those particular instances.
Right. That's true. Because a lot of us think that. I like that you brought that up about the casual sex aspect of it, because a lot of us like to think that there is a thing of casual sex. We like to say that, but without getting all in depth about it, sex is not one dimensional, and people tend to think that you just have casual sex and then that's just that. But the thing is, it's more than one dimensional. It has several dimensions. And what happens is that when everyone that we have sex with, we take a part of that person with us and vice versa. So that person is forever with you. It's like fingerprints or handprints on a mirror or a glass. If you just keep putting you put your hand on the mirror and you just leave it there and not wipe it off, that's how it is when we have these sexual relations with folks. They're always with us. You know what I mean? And it gets to this point where if you have all these partners, they're on you forever. It's their prints are on you and they're so, on your soul. And then it gets to the point where sometimes it's not clear. So now you have all these smeared prints all on you. Then it's just what is going on? Because you have all these pieces of these people with you. And of course, some people leave a more indelible mark than others, but it's still a mark nonetheless.
Right. So, you really explored this. And tell me, why was it important? I mean, I heard the intro and everything, but you didn't necessarily have to make it a book. You could have, kept it to yourself and went over it and over it to continue your journey in healing. But why was it important to you to write this book and get it out there?
It was important to me because I don't believe anyone's story belongs to them. I believe everyone has a story to tell and that they should share it with the hopes of helping heal others. And I realized that those that I was encountering and those friends of mine, those that I know, majority of them, majority of us we're holding on to someone that we shouldn't have or shouldn't be. And then I noticed, like, oh, it's not just me. Well, I knew that it wasn't just me, but I knew that
right.
a lot of us weren't talking about it. Like, no one's talking about it. It's just a thing where it's like, oh, you and such and such, I've been messing around for these many years, and it's like, okay. And your friends get to the point where they're used to it, and no one is really saying, oh, well, you need not do that. Or, you know, it's not a real conversation that's been talked about. And so I had to share it because it was holding me back, and it was only natural that I share the story because I had been on this journey. But now it's been 4 years. But since I've been on this journey of healing, and I felt like that was holding me back, that there was no way that I could not share it.
Right, right, right. Well, thank you, first off, for sharing your story. So let's talk about some of the concepts that you cover in the book. There's the concept of healing and getting unstuck. So, you include that as part of the process of cutting the ties. Talk about that.
Well, first we have to identify that we are stuck. So the reason why a lot of us don't know that we're stuck is because, again, we're so used to we're repeating patterns and we don't even realize that they're patterns. So it's like how when you get in the habit of doing something. So it's just like, okay, you wake up every morning and you brush your teeth. So, like, for me, it was, okay, I would get into a relationship, have, you know, a sexual relationship with someone, and then when it didn't work, I was going to the next person. And then I was just repeating that pattern. I would never, ever sit still and just say, okay, why didn't this work? I did not do any type of evaluating. It was just, I didn't allow myself time to even get over that person. I was just going to the next one. And when, let me see, it really hit the fan, I would say 2 years ago when I had gotten into this fling, because now I'm learning that not every interaction that I get into with folks is not necessarily a relationship. Sometimes it's just a fling. We're just going to call it a thing. So this last fling that I was in lasted about, let's say, 3 months. And in that 3 months, this person broke it off for me like 5 times. And I was just like, wait a minute. Like, that had never happened before. Like, I would do the dumping, but no, I was never the dumpy. Like, no, that just never happened. So it made me really, and that's not coming from like an egotistical standpoint. That's coming from a something is not right standpoint. Since I was on the journey at the time, I had never experienced the whole dumping aspect. So I started thinking, like, let me really delve into the patterns and why I'm allowing this, why I'm continuing this on, and why this is happening to me. So then I started uncovering, I went way back to when I first started having boyfriends, back when I was like 13 years old. And, you know, I really had to think about that. And some of it came from, I have journals that I've kept since 1995. So I went back and started reading what I wrote back then and pulling out the themes and the patterns and the things that I was saying then that I was still saying at that point, like 10, 15, 20 years later. I was just like, what is the problem? Do you know? So it wasn't until I started going to a therapist, and the therapist told me that I had some abandonment issues. I'm like, what is that? Like, what do you mean? Nah, I don't even know what that means. And so she had me really, like, analyze, like, my family structure. Like the father, okay, your father is not in the home. We hear that a lot. And we're just like, yeah, whatever. Okay, the father was absent. Oh, great. And then, but it was deeper than that, because it was like my mom, she wasn't absent. My mom was in the home, but she was absent emotionally. So Yes, she provided me with food, shelter, clothing, all of that, but she was emotionally unavailable because she had things that she had not dealt with. So she was checked out when it came to me. She wasn't on drugs. She wasn't in the streets. She was home. She did not pour into me emotionally. So I then turned into that one who became emotionally unavailable. So then I began attracting abandoners. So I attracted those who really didn't have anything to give but their bodies, because I wasn't offering anything else but my body either.
Mm-hmm.
So it just became this, and then I started feeling sad, and then it took a long time to forgive myself, because it's like I didn't know. So I was wondering why I was repeating this pattern. It's because that's the energy I was emitting, because that was my foundation.
Right. Wow. What a realization to come to. So let's move on to another concept, the concept of authenticity and vulnerability. So what's so important about those elements in the process?
Well, part y'all love Lanza and Oprah. I love both of them. And
say again.
And Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
I love both of them. And I look at people's biographies and interviews, because I love hearing people's stories and how they got through certain situations. And the common thread with that was they always spoke about being themselves and being true to themselves and having to go through periods where they need to heal. And so since I kept hearing that, I said, well, that has to mean that I need to get real about
mm-hmm.
what's going on with me and stop being ashamed, because, of course, there's some shame that's associated with someone that we think about who's promiscuous and out here flipping around. But we never really ask why that person is doing what she's doing. What's the reason? We just kind of, like, slut-shame them, in a sense. It's like, but you don't know what's going on with that person. So as I started doing the research and doing the work, I came to realize that I needed to be vulnerable. That was the only way that I could be authentic. And that was important to me because I needed to heal, and there's no true healing unless you're real and you're authentic. So I started uncovering the layers slowly. I didn't just jump right in. It took a long time. I talked it over with myself for at least a year. I was just like, nah, I'm not going to do that. And then I kind of let it out some when I wrote my first book in 2011, even though it was a book of short stories, but they were fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But they were based off of situations in my life. So then that was a way for me to release it a little bit.
Right. Okay. And say the name. Say the name of your first book. What was that book?
Oh, my first book was called It Can Happen to You.
Okay.
And it was just a book of three short stories. And that's how I started. It was just like, I'm going to share these stories, even though they had some pieces of fiction in them for sensationalism purposes. But like the premise of the stories were true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I started. And then when I really delved into my authenticity journey, I said I wanted to start sharing my story. So then I started a YouTube channel and started sharing little bits and pieces there to become more authentic. And as I continued on, more people started reaching out to me, thanking me for sharing my story and telling me that it was relatable, and then sharing what they've been through, but they weren't quite there yet wanting to expose themselves, but they felt comfortable sharing it with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I knew that I was on the right path. And now that I've been authentic and vulnerable, there's no going back to the previous way the previous way of thinking.
Right. So with what you just said, now that you've, learned the way of authenticity and vulnerability, there is no going back. Do you find it a bit of a struggle to stay on that path because, you know, getting up to this point, you've been one way for so many years, and you just determined, you know, that the way you had been was not the way that you needed to be for the betterment of yourself. But do you find it to be a struggle, you know, staying on that path of authenticity and vulnerability? Do you have to fight for it for yourself sometimes?
Yes. Every day.
Every day.
Every day, it's a struggle because it's like I liken it to an addiction because when someone is addicted to something, they consider themselves a recovering addict like all of their lives because it's that one thing that can make them relapse. So I'm not going to say that, okay, I was like addicted to sex because I don't believe that's what it was. I was addicted to attention because there was a lack of it. And that was that was the way that I felt like I can get attention. So yes, my mind tricks me and tells me things like, oh, what are you on this path for? Like, for what? Like, who really cares? Oh, in your mind would play a whole bunch of tricks on you. So I have to tell myself,
right.
Okay, like, no, that is not right. You can't do this. You are worthy. You deserve more. You deserve better. I have to constantly tell myself that because it's easy to fall back into where you've been because you were there for so long. So it's familiar. Doing this whole authenticity thing, these were uncharted territories because so many of us are told, don't tell your business. You don't want people liking your business or people going to judge you. And that could be true to some extent. But I feel like my purpose is to heal and to heal others, so I can't not share. So I can't, you know what I mean? So I have to explain to them that if the journey is not easy, while also telling them that it's worth it and that there's greatness on the other side, because most of us don't feel that way because we're stuck. We think that's the way, this is the way that it should be. But you get those little clues and nudges that say, no, something is not right. Our intuition really speaks to us a lot. And my therapist also told me that I have keen intuition, but I just don't listen to it. And that's true. I'm I can be really hard-headed. But, yes, it's a struggle every day especially when you're sitting here and you're just alone and you're by yourself, when you're used to always being with someone, your mind will tell you like, oh, just that one time, just go on in, it's not that bad. No. So yes, I talk to myself every day.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Right. That's good. That is good to know. And then, you know, as you're talking to yourself, another concept that comes up is, and it's become such a buzzword these days, but you can never really stress it enough, and it's the concept of self-love, which you have had to give to yourself. You've had to give yourself self-love.
Yes, which I didn't before, though.
Okay. You didn't before. So how does it feel now? to be loving yourself.
Know. It's amazing. I know it's cliche when people say you have to love yourself. It really sounds like a cliche. And most folks' answer to that is, I do love myself. No, but a lot of us really don't. And it shows in the way that we behave and the way that we treat ourselves. People think just because you have on nice clothes and you always get your hair done, that's just the extent of it. No, it's about what you accept in your life, period. So now that I truly know what love is and self-love is, it feels amazing because I feel empowered. Whereas before I didn't feel empowered. I just felt like, I'm just going to accept this because I would rather accept this than be alone. But nobody didn't know. Because I was hiding that, because I was always dressed nice and I was cute. So, yeah, now I wear it boldly and I speak it by sharing it with folks so that folks know that this is what it looks like. On the outside, you may think someone has it going on, but you don't know what they're fighting with internally.
Right. Wow. You just, I could hear you just light up when you said it's an amazing feeling. I appreciate that so much. And, you know, just to share with people what it looks like and what it feels like to really love yourself. So thank you for that. And so we're winding down. And I just want to know, do you have any book events coming up or any events coming up where people can meet you and, you know, talk a little bit more with you about your book and maybe, you know, get it from you directly?
I am in the process of planning that. I do have something that's in the works. It's going to be in October. I don't have a definite date yet, but people can keep in contact with me. I'm all over social media. They can follow me at Fiat Hollins. They can follow me on my website at fiathollins.com. And I'm also, I will have my next book, which I'm doing a Get Naked book, which is where I share stories of healing from the inside out to help people get unstuck. That will be dropping October 11th. And I am taking pre-orders for those at bit.ly/remove. Let me see. Remove the... See, I got so many links going on in my head. Oh, my goodness, I just drew a blank. Remove the layers. Okay, I'm sorry. So bit.ly/removethelayers. I'm doing pre-orders for those, and the book will drop October 11th.
Okay, good. And this book, How to Cut Soul Ties, how can people get that book? From your website?
They can get the book on Amazon. And it's available on Nook also. It's only available in ebook now. I am in the process of having it converted to paperback because I've been getting a response for that. So they can get that on, they can either Google it, well, not Google it, but find it on Amazon, or they can go to bit.ly/cutsoulties and they can order it there.
Okay. Okay, great, wonderful. Fiat, thank you so much for being a guest. I learned something today. I have been on a little journey myself of breaking a bad relationship pattern. So I thank you for kind of like affirming and confirming what I have been going through for myself. So I want to thank you for talking with me. Thank you for the book. And I just want to let you know I appreciate you.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you as well. This is great.
Yay, you're welcome. Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And that is it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. I want to thank again Fiat Hollins for being my guest and for sharing her truth in such a wonderfully transparent way. You can find her on Facebook and at her website, fiathollins.com. That's PHETTEHOLLINS. .com, Fiat Hollins. And remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at MotownWriters.com. And you can find us on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on BlogTalkRadio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff. This has been Andrea Daniel for Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you so much for listening in. I really do appreciate you for being out there. Have a good rest of your day, a good rest of your week, and live a good story. And if you are so inclined, write about it. And good night.